Debbie Carlin Boyle. She's a certified health and nutrition coach. She has a great show. You should watch on YouTube and on her Facebook. I'll put the links in the show notes. We talk about the three pillars of health: sleep, exercise, diet. Why organic foods are important. Why exercise is important. Really, she has great insight. She interviews people all in health and wellness on her show. She's got over 200 videos. Very, very impressive. I felt like we could have talked forever, but health and wellness with Debbie Carlin Boyle. I think you'll enjoy this conversation. I certainly did. Thanks so much for listening. Hi, I'm Joey Pins. People ask me, how did I lose 130 pounds? The quick answer is always discipline. I started my business, wasn't paying attention to my health, was eating too much, drinking too much sweets. My daughter was born. Next thing I know, I'm pre-diabetic, I have hypertension. I knew something had to change. Discipline. I, like many of you, have faced many challenges in your career, in your family, in your life, in your faith. How did you attack them? How did you approach them? How did you solve them, hopefully? It all had to have some degree of discipline. I'm also asked, how did you found and start a tech business that lasted over 25 years? Discipline. I was committed to it, enjoyed technology, didn't enjoy some aspects of it, but knew it was necessary. Discipline. Our podcast mission, how do we use discipline to better ourselves and society? Join me, please, as I talk to interesting people and discuss how they use discipline in their family, in their passion, in their careers, and how it helped them. Our podcast vision, growth through learning from others. Joey Pins Discipline Conversations. It'll be light and serious. Join us, please. Thank you for consideration.
I've been trying to get on here. How are you?
Well, nice to meet you. Debbie Carlin Boyle's pleasure.
Pleasure. Joey or Joe?
You know, a Joe, people just say Joey is easy to remember. I'm Joe. My Italian cousins call me Giuseppe, so just Joe.
Just Joe. Okay. Sure. My grandfather's name. I can remember that.
Yeah. So. It's been pretty good for us. Had a couple glitches here and there, but it works well. Now you do these great live streams, and it looks like
you're
in a nice studio.
So, well, yeah, I pay to get it produced, and I'm one of the producers as well. So I work with an engineer and it's a company called ubngo.com, otherwise known as Universal Broadcasting Network. So it's not cheap, but I don't have to deal with any of the tech end of it, which I like. And I've been podcasting for going on 6 years.
Wow.
So I had a co-host for a while, and we were at a company called America Talk Live. And that was a good sort of rehearsal ground for what I'm doing on my own now. So I've kind of moved up. Paying more now, but that was live streaming radio before podcasting was even a thing. And then when I made a move, it was still live streaming radio, and then podcasting became a thing. And then he's got hundreds of podcasters that come in. We all schedule ourselves out. My shows are live. So
I saw that. Yeah. And you have a phone number for call-ins and everything. Very, very cool. So I'll start right off the bat. With so much information out there about people like yourself and about getting healthy, why is it important to be healthy, and why aren't more Americans healthy? We see obesity at 60% or something.
Yeah, it's really kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah,
okay,
why?
So I can give you lots of reasons, and I'm going to start with the first, the importance of being healthy is to have longevity or quality. Mm-hmm. I'm writing a book called Age Young. And so we want to not be sick in our early years, our mid years, or our later years, because then we're contending with our illness and we're not living a quality of life. And who wants that? Don't we all have the goal for happiness? and for doing joyful things and being loved and giving love and volunteering. And if you're sick, you're not going to have the energy or the wherewithal to do that. So it's, I think it's really important to think about it from early onset. So that's why it's important. Why are we not? Because as we became a fast food nation and fast food became cheap and easier, and Americans are always in a rush, and fast food was advertised to us, you know, it's an industry, it's a huge financial, big, huge industry for those that are in it, and it behooves them to find cheap ways to make GMO'd food, which is genetically modified food. So it's not real. And that's what's making us sick. And that's a big part of what's making a lot of America sick, because other countries don't follow that lead necessarily in that they're a fast food nation as we are. They've taken on some of us, what we've done. But it all comes down to how you take care of yourself, starting with the number one thing, and that's what you put in your body. It's kind of like gasoline to a car, you know? And if you're going to eat bad synthetic food, you're going to get bad results. If you're going to eat whole, fresh, unprocessed food and eat it within a reasonable amount, you're going to get positive results. And that's why we're a sick nation. That's the short of it.
And yeah, absolutely. I wish you well, and perhaps this will invoke you a bit. I mean, it's such a big moneymaker. It's such a presence. No matter where we drive, we constantly see it. During the pandemic, I always felt it had been a great opportunity for the government to say, hey, let's get healthier. Let's exercise. Let's eat better. Let's introduce more fruits and vegetables. Was the reason they didn't because of the lobbying of the fast food and that industry?
Big part of it. Big part of it. Fast food industry definitely has a grab on our health industry and our health food industry. And not to mention when you get into the pharmaceutical industry, how when people get sick, then the pharmaceutical industry stands up. Pharmaceutical industries actually create names for diseases so they can create the medication that's supposed to help you live with the disease. But keep in mind, a pharmaceutical, a drug, isn't going to help you cure a disease. A holistic approach is going to prevent you from a disease. Even taking a holistic approach once you get sick will be helpful, but taking drugs is only going to make you sicker because you're going to have side effects from the drugs. And it becomes this vicious cycle. So these very large industries that are earning money off us being a sick nation are keeping us down. And it's unfortunate. However, I do think there's a collective awareness now. You know, global warming and our food sources are all interconnected. And because we're paying attention to what's happening, how our agriculture is going, what's happening to our crops, what our farming is like, and we're realizing practices in farming have a lot to do with global warming. Well, when those practices get cleaned up, we're going to clean up the environment that much more, and we're also going to clean up ourselves for obvious reasons. Because it's you know, it's a tiered thing. It starts with the planting, and it starts with good soil, and it starts with not, you know, we're a nation that uses Roundup glyphosate to put, to spray our crops so that, you know, we have, you know, to put, what do you call it, when you debug them. And that is not meant for the human body. It's making us sick. So, and a lot of the foods, a lot of processed foods are also there to make us crave more. All those synthetic ingredients that they come in, that they put in, make us want more of that. Sugars and salts and any kind of additives, they're cravings. They cause cravings for us to make us keep coming back. That's the idea. Keep buying the same thing because you like it so much. And it's making us sick and fat.
You mentioned at one point that you're a child of processed food in one of your videos.
Yeah. I talk about that on my website. It's part of my opening of the book I'm writing. I'm well into my 60s, and I was born in the 50s. And I grew up in the San Fernando Valley in California. And I think one of the very first McDonald's popped up right when I was born. And there were four kids in our family. So my mom, who didn't want to have to, you know, for her, it was advertised as a convenience, fast, cheap, easy. And literally, we lived off of fast food and everything, boxed cereal, packaged, ding-dongs, ho-hos, everything you could think, all processed. And so, lo and behold, by the time I was a teenager, it caught up to me because I was such a skinny kid. You don't think about it, you know, unless you see some direct results. You don't realize you're walking around with a foggy brain. You don't realize that you're sneezing a lot because you probably have sensitivities to some of these ingredients until you take them out and you start to feel good. And then you realize it. So when I had control of my life between the summer of high school and college, I decided I was going to clean everything up. I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to feel better. So I went on one of those, which I don't recommend now at all, being a health professional, but I went on one of those protein shake diets where you have a protein shake in the morning, you eat a salad, all good food, that part I do recommend, in the middle of the day, and then a protein shake at night. And I dropped 20 pounds before I went away to school. And the second I got to school, the commissary, because I was living in the dorm, was full of processed food. Right. Everything was yellow. Everything was fried. Everything had like a little rainbow cast over it. And I said, I can't go back. I'm not doing this. So I went off the meal plan, and it was when salad bars, this is now the 70s, when salad bars became a big thing at pizza joints. So that's, I just right. ate off the salad bar. And lo and behold, I became, which I'm not 100% now, but I became a vegetarian, and I was able to see huge changes in my life once I took out processed food and meat. Now, I'm not a proponent now. I know a lot of meat in its healthy source can be very beneficial to many people. But back then, I just saw it as an extra expense, really. And I didn't, and there was an ethical thing about it that I didn't, hadn't studied well enough. But I did know how I felt. And I did know how I looked. And I did know that I wasn't going back to where I was. So processed food was a thing of the past for me. And as I got older, I got into the movie industry, or into, I was doing television commercials for 30 years. And they put out this big craft service table with nothing but processed and junk food. So it was hard, but I had this side hustle of wanting to stay healthy. So I was into exercise big time. And while I was producing, I also became a spin instructor and a personal trainer, which yielded to the fact that I had to stay looking good and feeling energetic if I was going to teach and train. And it was a total side hustle, but I took it in my mid-50s. I took it full force, and I just let the commercial stuff go. I let that go with marriage, and my ex-husband and I had a company together. We parted with that, and that allowed me to take the side hustle and go back to school and study nutrition and health and wellness. And that's where I stand now, building a brand. So...
very, very cool. So do you feel, is it your hope, or do you wish, do you think the obesity numbers will decline and America will get healthier?
So of course that's our hope. I feel that there's a big push for the industry I'm in, for health coaches, health advocates, people to give you, help you with accountability, help you to motivate, give you tools that you need to get healthier. We're bigger than we've ever been, so that's a plus. Unfortunately, the pandemic has kind of opened our eyes to those that had been taking care of themselves a little more. We're a little less, or at least not having such bad issues with the, you know, not taking it on so bad with the pandemic. So I think that has opened our eyes this last year and a half, that those that were healthier, even if they did get the virus, they were able to pass it off pretty quickly. And that's not in all cases. Nobody is a one-size-fits-all deal, but really prevention and taking care of yourself will help these things that are coming at us all across the board. And I think there's a bigger awareness to the fact that those that take better care of themselves were the ones that didn't get the sickest. So I'm hoping, our fingers are crossed. I've been in, I started this whole nutrition and certification process in 2016. And so in the last 5 years, I've seen an upscale of the, of awareness in this industry.
Definitely. Yeah. And shows like you have, and just the, you know, more people like yourself, you know, it angers me. It upsets me that, you know, it was a prime opportunity during this pandemic for everybody to get healthy. We could have walked, you know, we could have been, you know, socially distanced, you know, let's get America healthy. And it just didn't happen. And it really comes down to money. And it's frustrating. So in the 90s, I started my business, and then I found myself, you know, I was working 14, 16 hour days, and, you know, I had a daughter, and I found myself, you know, at 340 pounds, right? Eating too much, junk food, et cetera. The doctor says I'm pre-diabetic. You're not going to see your daughter grow up. So, you know, I had this kind of come to Jesus moment. You know, I started exercising 7 days a week. I ate half of what I didn't have any sugary drinks, you know, lost 100 pounds, and I, you know, did some triathlons, but I had to have this kind of moment where the realization of what I'm doing to myself is going to inhibit me from seeing my daughter. So just like any addiction, I wonder if it's going to take some rock bottom and come to Jesus moment for so many obese people, even the pandemic, you would think that would have worked. I'm not sure if it has. The numbers don't seem to decrease. But how is that going to happen, Debbie? How is that going to happen? How are they going to realize that they need to do this? Yes.
It's a really good question. You know what I find? A lot of people who get healthy, like the story you just told me, have that they hit rock bottom. And they have that story, and that's why they get healthy. For me, it wasn't just me, but I watched everybody around me that I loved get sick and die before they turned 60, which meant, is that my path? Is that what's going to happen to me? So at 18, I hit bottom because I lost my father at 20. I was 20. He was 46 because he smoked, he drank, he had Hodgkin's disease, he was overweight, he had terrible psoriasis. When your body, when you have skin issues, it's coming from the gut. There's something going on that you're not doing right internally. He never, like you were just saying about yourself, he never paid attention to what he put in his body, to how he moved, didn't care about his quality of sleep, overdid everything until it was too late. And that by that time, he didn't want to make the changes. He just felt it was too late. Wow. I saw that. And then I started to see his sister, my aunt, with cancer go down by the time she was 60 with breast cancer. I thought, where is my future lie with my family? And how am I going to keep a legacy going if we're all going to go before we can even have? I mean, it really scared me. And I had, like you, even though my issue was just 20 pounds overweight, that scared me. I knew very early on that I had to change for me. Now, what I find is people that do what I do and people that have gotten healthy and are exercising and, you know, getting into triathlons and races and playing sports competitively had a moment of realization. Either they went to their doctor and their number said, you're going on medication, and even then we may not be able to help you. Or they had a cancer or some sort of autoimmune disease that they wanted to shift and turn around. I'd say 90% of the people that do my show had that issue, had a moment. So if that's what it takes, that makes me sad. Because I would like to see from the get-go a more holistic approach to raising our children. And so they can keep that legacy going within their families. So for example, I have two daughters. So by the time I had daughters, I was already on the health road. So my daughters only knew organic, whole, fresh food. And they weren't given a lot of sugar. They never drank soft drinks. We never had boxed cereal. I was very careful with dairy products because of the sensitivities they can cause. And as a result, that's what they know. I now have a granddaughter who was born 9 months ago. My daughter is so holistic because that's what she knows, that she had her daughter at home, an at-home birth. She's still breastfeeding almost 10 months later. Wow. Her daughter is eating all fresh fruits and vegetables and small portions of healthy grass-fed free-range protein. And she is giving her the best start that she possibly can. And that's the best we can do, is to educate ourselves, have a purpose, have a reason to want to start younger, not to wait until something happens to have a story. So my daughter doesn't have a story because she grew up that way, right? And so, but her story is, look at me. She is now a master yoga teacher. She does retreats all over the world before the lockdown. She teaches teachers to be teachers, and she's that well known and popular within her field. Another healthy thing to be doing in life. She's giving back to others. And that's simply because we started it that way. She didn't start off like I did, as a processed kid with sick adults around me. So it's going to take something collectively, I think, for people to get on the bandwagon and be preventative and be holistic from the start. Think about the whole body. Think about all the things that feed us besides food, which is the number one thing. There's so many other things that are interconnected that we have to do in order to live a happy, whole, healthy life and create that longevity with quality. And that's what health coaches are about. They help people do that. You know, some people do it with a group. Some people can do it on their own, just like, you know, people who diet. Diets, I'm here to tell you, don't work. Lifestyle changes work. As you know, how long has it been that you've stayed this way?
Oh, it was about 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Yeah.
And they were small changes that gradually grew to one big, right? Small, sustainable changes that
you saw. Yeah, it's a life change. Absolutely. Just a life change. I can't continue to do what I'm doing. Yeah. You're right. Diets are just temporary. I know so many people that lost so much weight and then just gain it back.
Yeah. It's, and that's the roller coaster effect, which isn't good for your body in itself. And so many people grab on to whatever new craze is out there, whatever, whether it be keto or paleo or intermittent fasting or, you know, so many different, and it's not to say that those things won't work for individuals, because again, everybody, it's not a one size fits all, but whatever you're going to do, you want to stick with, and you're going to have to you're probably not going to see fast results. So you have to be patient. I have a term called crowding out, where if you're eating really horrible and you want to change, to suddenly stop and then just go only, you know, green food and lean protein and good fats all at once and take out everything, you're probably not going to be successful in the long run. So the best thing to do is to slowly crowd in the good stuff, push away the bad stuff until your plate changes, until the colors of your plate change, you know. The look of the plate, the way you cook the food. That's another thing. Cooking your food as opposed to buying the food and not knowing where the sources of it are and not knowing what's in, how it was modified or what kind of pesticides are on the food. You have control if you buy it. You have control mostly if you grow it and harvest it and cook it. Right. But if you buy it organic, which is what I do. And I do a lot of talks to lower income where people can't necessarily or don't want to go to Whole Foods or some high-end holistic market. So, you know, I don't know if you do back east, but here we have something called Trader Joe's. and they carry that they kind of met the demand of people saying, we want cheaper, healthier food. Hmm. And every market chain has an organic section. And it's not that expensive. But again, the cheap food, the manufacturers are throwing coupons at us, deal 2-for-1, that kind of thing. And people tend to go for that. I never use a coupon, ever, unless it's for something organic. And there never is. You right. know? And it's unfortunate. But really, if you're eating whole food, you're going to satiate yourself. Junk food just makes you want more. Whole food makes you full enough and healthy enough that you don't want to go to the crap, you know? So anyway, I started ranting there.
I love it. Yeah.
I get passionate.
Absolutely. I heard the term eating the rainbow.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you think about it, we're talking mostly fruits and vegetables when we talk about eating the rainbow. So think of fruit and vegetables. Those are vitamins and minerals and amino acids and protein and things that actually nurture you instead of hinder you. So think about the colors of the rainbow, and you know, each fruit and vegetable have their own components of beneficial ingredients in them, if you will. But if you can, you know, think of your red vegetables, red peppers, tomatoes, think of your green vegetables, dark leafy greens are one of the best things you could eat. The more right. of that, the better you're going to do from a health point, from the way you feel good and look good. It's going to be good for your skin. And then there's, you know, there's the whole thing like cantaloupes or this peachy color, and peaches and bananas are yellow. So if you were to put out, and I actually keep photos when I do my talk, I have a PowerPoint presentation that shows you baskets of fruit that looks like a rainbow. It just right. looks like a rainbow. And fruit and vegetables. And that's what you want to eat. That's how you want your meals to look. You want to put those precious, wonderful, satiating, healthy things in your body. And they'll look like a rainbow. It will be a rainbow color if you're picking those things. So
simple. Yeah. Are you familiar with the Dirty Dozen?
Yes. And, you know, again, this isn't not a one size fits all kind of thing. Those are sort of like the vegetables and fruits that tend to absorb more of the pesticides and more right. of the things that are in some of the nightshade vegetables and fruits. So when I do my talks, I do say, look for that. You know, whenever possible, buy organic. If not possible, take a look at the list of the Dirty Dozen and try to stay away from those. Like strawberries, they're kind of like a sponge for pesticides. Right, right. And there's no peel, so there's nothing protecting them from that pesticide. So, but bananas, they actually inject bananas to kind of plump them up and keep them longer if they're not organic with wow. like a, what's the word I'm looking for that they inject?
Steroid?
No, it's... oh God, I forgot. Anyway, so they actually penetrate that peel. So I always buy organic bananas, and I always buy organic apples. They're one of the worst foods that collect those pesticides and all that. Shiny apples. That's right. all put on there. You want to stay away from that LR and all of that. So you want those are you know. So I highly recommend looking at the list of those Dirty Dozen if you can't buy organic everywhere. But and then there's a whole thing about lectins, and lectins are a protein that's within fruits and vegetables, mostly vegetables, that sometimes attack our cells. Again, not a one size fits all. Some people can eat lectins and not have any repercussions, and others might get sort of a leaky gut or inflammation in the gut from lectins. So there is a doctor out there. He's actually a heart doctor. He's written many books. He's got a podcast, Dr. Stephen Gundry, and he's written several books, one of which is The Plant Paradox. And The Plant Paradox talks about how we think all the plants are good for us, but lectins actually aggravate some people's digestive tract. Hmm. So he talks about what foods have lectins. Mostly they're grains and beans, things that have seeds in them. That and he tells you a way to get around it and still enjoy those foods. He also tells you all the foods that are the healthiest for you. So I recommend that book highly to my clients. And you can get it on Audible and listen to it in your car and feel empowered by that. Or just his podcast, you know.
You've got a lot of great guests on your show. So the three pillars of healthiness, diet, exercise, and sleep. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're all go hand in hand with each other. But if we were to put it, yes, and delineate it down from high to low, I would say those are the three most important. And when you talk about diet, we also need to talk about hydration. The number one thing that just came out, a study came out today that people, it is shown that people that don't drink enough water, that are dehydrated, have higher blood pressure.
Wow.
So I recommend to my clients, and you know, I teach spinning on a bike. So I recommend to my clients that they drink half their body weight in ounces a day, especially if you're doing high cardio exercise, strenuous exercise, then you should even drink more. So that way, again, you're sort of, you are customizing to your body weight and not to just a general men should do this and women should do that. Like they say, women should drink eight ounce glasses of water a day and men should do 12. Well, it's not one size, I don't think. So take your body weight, half that, double, and drink that many ounces of water.
Very good.
And when
tip.
You think, yeah, when you think about it, for me, it's roughly 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. And if you, and this is an extra step, but if you have a measuring cup, that's like a 4 cup or even a 1 cup measuring cup, just measure out your water and count it off in your head. The same way you sort of measure the steps you take per day with your Fitbit, you can do it with water and kind of count it out. If you're thirsty, it's too late. You're dehydrated.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, water, I always keep it handy.
Me
always.
Too. Yeah, yeah. I always have water. Yeah.
And in a glass bottle. So.
Ah, yeah.
So
we talked about diet. We talked about organics. So yeah, we just move over to exercise now. Yeah. I did a lot of spin classes. I did a lot of, you know, a lot of cardio. I did like 5 triathlons. I started doing CrossFit, and then, you know, I hurt my shoulder. I didn't want it to affect my golf game. So, you know, it has to be careful. So, you know, I walk when I play golf, but, you know, I have a Peloton, I have a, you know, exercise bike there that I get on quite often, but it just seems more than ever now, there's just so many ways for people to get exercise that wasn't there before.
Yeah, this is true. And hang on, let me just, somebody is talking to me on here. There, that was one of your people. I was trying to figure out how to get the camera on. Yes. So here's how I look at exercise. And this is the way everybody, I think, should kind of take an approach, is that when you move, you get your blood pumping. When you get your blood pumping, you activate all of your systems. When your systems are activated, all the nutrients, all the vitamins and minerals and everything that your body needs to function well and properly are being activated and moving. And if you don't use it, you're going to lose it is the basic, you know, premise. So you got to get moving. And the way I look at it is with my clients is anything you like or that works for you, you should give it a shot and try it. And you don't have to stick with the one thing. Find something that works for you. But I do think people should mix it up. Maybe walk one day and next day do some weight resistant training. Really important. You can use your own body weight. You don't have to pick up a weight to do it. But to find some kind of resistant training that you do that creates protection around your muscles and your bones, because you want to protect your bones as you get older. It's all about aging young, right? So in order to do that, you've got to have some resistant training. So that might be one day, and then choose another cardio that you might want to do, whether it's jogging or whether it's swimming. Find what you love and go do it. I ride bikes. I play tennis. I used to run, but like you, I have very bad knees now in my mid-60s. And that's a whole story because I overdid before I knew better. Mm. And biking really is the one thing that really helps. Swimming is the other. And then I play tennis, but I can't run that fast anymore because of my knees. But I love it. And I'm not going to give it up. So I play once to twice a week. And I won't give it up right now while I'm trying to work out the knee situation. So those are the things I love. And weight training. So I weight train 4 days a week. So without it, God knows where I'd be. I can tell you I have two genetic sisters that are very overweight and very sort of lazy, if you will. They're not getting out and moving the way they should. Mm. Maybe walking is the most they do, which if that's all you can do, then do it. Yes. Any way you can, then do it. But they aged very differently than me. Very differently. And we're same parents, right? Very one's younger, one's older. So I'm sort of living proof that if you move it, you won't lose it. Mm. There are things genetically, again, that I talk about a lot with my clients about condition and constitution. So constitution is our genetics. There's some things we're born with that we're predisposed to that can go south if we let it, or we can kind of keep it at bay. And that comes with our condition. And we can even go beyond that. So like you did, you just took care of yourself. You took care of the things that you needed to do. You needed to eat right. You needed to move. And you knew that rest was important. So whatever genetic predisposition you had, you're able to nip that in the bud, probably make it go away. And that's, you know, my hope for most people to get that message that they don't have, you know, I've heard excuses and you hear, oh, genetically, I can't lose weight. Genetically, I carry this way.
It's a cop out.
Yeah. And I'm here to tell you, you have control over your condition. You're living proof. I'm living proof.
Absolutely. Can you outwork, out-exercise a bad diet?
Never. You can't sit and eat junk food and then go and exercise. And I hate when people go, I'm going to eat sugar all day, going to eat cake all day, and I'll just exercise tomorrow. And I'm like, wait, stop. No, hold the phone. Doesn't work that way. Because you may still look good, but chances are you aren't going to feel good, and you're still allowing disease to enter. Diet is the number one thing. Number one thing. The food and the gut connection to every part of our body, all our systems, and to ward off disease is number one. Number one. So you can't.
It's still amazing to me when I get checkups, they never ask me what I eat. I don't understand that. Why aren't they asking that? If they're not asking me, they're not asking others.
The medical field is trained differently. And they have pharmaceutical companies on their back. And I'm not saying everybody is like this, but you're better off going to a functional medicine doctor who takes the holistic approach and is going to ask you exactly those questions. Or working with a health coach. Now, it's not to say there aren't medical conditions and issues that you have to go see a medical doctor for. But I would say a good percentage of our medical industry here in the United States is not trained to look at the holistic approach. They put the Band-Aid on and they're only dealing with what you're pinpointing at the moment and what they could throw a steroid or an antibiotic at and not really get to the nitty-gritty of where did it come from in the first place. That's why.
Very, very, very true. And, you know, Debbie, I talk a lot about, people ask me, you know, how'd you lose all the weight? Everybody wants a magic button, you know? And, you know, I always say discipline. You know, I saw something and I just use discipline. I had a particular track to get there, but fundamentally it's discipline. So is that what a lot of Americans are just lacking?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're fast paced and fast food just feeds to that, literally. Yeah. And I think we're stressed. and people eat when they're stressed. We're emotional eaters.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're also sort of trained in a way that says to keep eating all day, to eat snacks all day. And really the human body should, you need to give your digestive tract a rest, right? We do at night when we sleep until we eat breakfast or until we eat the next day. That's why it's called breakfast. You're breaking the fast. But we don't need snacks, even if they're healthy ones. I mean, yes, it depends on what you're doing for a living. It depends on how you feel. If you're feeling lightheaded, then obviously you weren't satiated enough at the last meal and you should eat a healthy snack. But really, we should just look at three healthy meals a day for the average person. Again, people pick different lifestyles. So if we look at those three healthy meals a day and you start kind of crowding out the bad with the good, it doesn't seem like you're being, like you have to discipline yourself. It just becomes who you are and what you are. But there's small baby steps that you have to take, like I was saying earlier, or that discipline, it's not sustainable because it just becomes, you don't want to make it look like a chore or look like something that you dread. Because if you dread it, you're going to fail at it. So even when you start to see the good results and you start to feel better, sometimes you just need somebody to be your cheerleader and your coach, you know, to help you stay on the track because it's so easy to fall off. A lot of times with my clients, if they're surrounded by, they want to make a change in themselves, but they're surrounded by people that are eating really poorly and not taking care of themselves and their family, not only will they get made fun of sometimes, but they don't want to fit in, fit out. They want to always fit in. So you, there's where the discipline comes in, is saying, what's wrong with fitting out? It's okay to fit out. It's okay to be the person who stands out. You're the one who's going to reap the benefits, not them. They're going to get sick. They're going to get fat. They're going to have situations that are going to keep them from doing what they love to do. But I'm not, you know. So when you're out at that happy hour and everybody's drinking these incredibly sweet drinks and that are cheap, mind you, the cheaper it is seems the more horrible it is for you. You know, and then all the fried food, all the chicken wings and the fried and the macaroni and cheese with all the cream and the crap. And if you just, like for me, I get a guacamole and a side of vegetables at happy hour, or I pay separately for them to do that. And I don't care if people make fun of me because I know what my future's holding.
Right.
And that's where you have to change your mindset a little bit and realize that food is only a moment in your, it's more here than it is here. So that those French fries, that's about, that's, you're equating French fries with something fun stuff that you did or the way your childhood was. It's emotional connection to those French fries, but they're horrible for your body because they're fried food and bad oil. You can eat baked potatoes, even more so sweet potatoes, really a high antioxidant food. So think about it. What can I substitute this for and feel not deprived? And be, that's where you're going to have sustainability. That's where you're not going to feel like you're missing out, because you're not. You're actually gaining so much. And that's hard to get that message across when we've been inundated with all this crap coming at us. And I tell you, if you go up and down those supermarket aisles, it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
And so even the health food stores. So the perimeter of the market is where you want to nitpick, and you want to give yourself time to market so you don't buy crap and get out of the coupons. Stay away from what's cheap, because what's cheap is going to hurt you in the long run.
Totally. Yeah, it's for some mouth pleasure. I remember somebody saying once, not everything that goes into your mouth has to be a party, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? The association with what you eat at parties is why you think you're being rewarded if you eat that kind of food. So think about how, and this is a tough one, and this is still a tough one within my family. So how do we celebrate? With sugary cakes, candies, usually some cooked foods that are bad for you, alcohol, champagne to celebrate any kind of milestone, right? For those of us that are old enough to drink. So we equate happy, good times, social, being social and having friends and family and a lot of love around you are part of that circle, that healthy circle of life. But the way we celebrate is not so healthy. So we have to find the balance in that. And I talk about an 80-20 balance. So 20% of the time, when you are at a party, have the party in your mouth with the party food, you know? But when you're not, don't. And that's 80% of the time. So if you can be, like you talk about, disciplined enough to understand that concept, then you're going to have much better results in the long run. It's a tough one because everything that's bad for us is what we use to celebrate.
That's right. Even smoking cigars, right? So like if somebody comes to you and says, look, I want to lose weight, I want to exercise, but I'm not giving up my ice cream every night, or I'm not giving up, you know, some of the poor diet choices I make. What's your conversation with them like?
Well, I ask them for their goals. And it depend. You're not going to meet a goal if you're going to stay with the bad sugary GMO'd food. So, but what we, and I don't say it like that. I'm not that abrupt about it. But what, you know, there's a whole process to health coaching people, and there's a whole kind of tiered way of doing it gently. But what we talk about is substitutions and what can we do so you can still feel like you're going to get the things that you love without getting the harm that they cause you. And I go into their homes. I did this recently 2 weeks ago with a client. Wow. I do refrigerator and food cupboard makeovers. I also do supermarket tours. So we take a session and we go into the supermarket and I teach you how to read a label. Read a label. If something's packaged and there's a million ingredients in there and you don't know what they are and you can't pronounce them, don't buy it.
Wow.
Don't buy it. Unless it's some kind of derivative of a vegetable, don't buy it. Usually it's all synthetic. It's all GMO'd. It's there to change the flavor, to make you buy more. So that's a slowly but surely process with clients. And they start to yield results. You start to see, first thing that happens, because they're all of a sudden drinking more water and exercising and, you know, thinking about what they're putting in their bodies, their skin changes. I can see them go from kind of a gray-green color to more of a peachy, really beautiful skin color. So they start, and their eyes brighten up, you know, like their eyes clear up. And then they start to slim down, maybe not in the places they want to slim at first, because again, we're all genetically different in how we gain and lose weight. But when they start yielding those results from just these small little baby steps that we're making, and still feeling that they're not missing out, then I know I'm on a road to success. But you have to give it time. You give it time. How long did you say it took for you to lose the weight?
Well, the first 100 pounds was about 7-8 months. And then, you know, I continued to lose weight and, you know, I didn't want to do it quickly, but losing weight is one of the hardest things you're going to do in your life.
And maintaining it.
And maintaining it.
Because especially once you, that's why I say we need to give our kids the start where they never have to be on that thing to lose weight. I mean, it's one thing if you have an event and you want it for women, if we want to fit into a certain dress and the guy wants to get some abs for his Hawaiian vacation or whatever, you know, then you kind of focus on what you're trying to do for that time frame. That's your goal, your short-term goal. But the bigger picture is what can you sustain and do in the long run? And usually people that are very overweight, and you probably know this personally, Once they take out one thing, like the sugary soft drink, right, they start to see changes right yes. away. Whereas somebody who's already pretty much at the weight they want, but not the health feeling that they want, that doesn't, you don't see results immediately. Mm. The bigger you are, the sooner you see the results generally. So it's, you know, sometimes a bigger, for me, challenge for somebody who's not necessarily overweight, but not healthy, to show them, because they already see kind of what they like, but they're not feeling how they like. So it takes a little longer to see that. But for those of us, you know, that have been overweight and took one bad thing out at a time and see results immediately, we know it works. We know it's true. And it's just, you know, there is that discipline, but but not in a negative way. You want to think right. of it in a positive way. Like, can I ask you, what kind of drinks do you drink now? What are you
now?
Yeah,
I just drink water. I'm mm-hmm. pretty boring. I just drink a lot of water. Okay. Yeah, I forget what I think I was around 70 to 80 ounces. So, you know, I'm about 200 now. So I'm a little under your measurement there. But mm-hmm. yeah, I just drink a lot of water. You know, when I go out and be with friends, I certainly will have drinks, but that's once a week, once every 2 weeks, but a lot of water.
See, that's your 20/80 premise. Yeah. And just think of that. Think of, you can't, I mean, there are incidents where you can drink too much water, but, and then the salt levels change. That's not what you want to do, but just think of it that you probably, the average person is dehydrated. Dehydration is the number one catalyst to all diseases, So the best thing you can put in your body is water. And I say filtered water. So find filtered water. You don't want to go straight from the tap. Buy a filter, buy something like a Brita. I use a Zero filter. And you can get them in big glass. You can create big glass containers full of that water, or there are water services, or there are things that you can do to your refrigerator to make sure you have a good filter that gets out all the heavy metals and the things that you don't want in your water, the fluoride and stuff like that. So I recommend that highly. I make any coffee drinks, teas. I drink warm water and lemon in the morning. A lot of that is all done with filtered water. And I don't buy bottled water unless it's in a glass. So,
you know, I never had a cup of coffee my whole life.
Really?
Yeah. 52 years old. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you drink caffeine? Have you ever had caffeine in tea?
Sure. I don't drink tea, but I haven't. I used to drink a lot of soda.
Yeah, you know, before caffeine.
And then a lot of caffeine. Yeah, but I wake up in the morning, I just drink water. Yeah, it's just
good for you.
A lot of water. And it's amazing how you mentioned before how the skin glows and how your body rewards you when you diet correctly and when you exercise. It's thanking you by your skin glowing and by, you know, fitting into your clothes a little better. You just feel more energetic.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing what being healthy can do for you. You know, usually I alluded to it earlier. You don't really know how bad you're feeling until you feel good.
Mm.
And then, you know, I get it now. But once you feel good, you don't want to go back, or you shouldn't want to go back. So you got to keep it up, you know, and then you know what you did to get there. So you want to keep those things up, you know, and again, I recommend individually, you know, not to find out, and usually do this through blood work, urine work, sometimes stool work, but to find out what your sensitivities are, find out where you might be lacking in supplements, in vitamins or minerals, and supplement those. And no two people are alike on that.
Right.
No two people are alike. So if you can work with a functional medicine doctor, work with a health coach, you're giving yourself, you know, lots of big upstarts to being healthy for life. So that's, you know, and those things change. Again, our stress levels change. The reason why sleep is so important is because it affects our cortisol level. Cortisol affects our adrenals, our stress gland, and our stress levels. And when we're highly stressed and our cortisol is high, we get into fatigue and adrenal fatigue, and that upsets all of our systems, and then we throw ourselves off. Our, you know, hormone balancing comes with taking care of yourself. If your hormones are out of whack, you're not going to feel good, and you're probably going to get sick down the line. So you want to keep your hormone levels balanced. And again, that comes with checking your numbers and seeing where you're at. If you feel good, there's no huge rush to do that. But if something feels off, find out. There's something going on. There's something you might be lacking. You know,
your body would tell you. I remember when I go get my eyes examined every year, you know, he always says, you know, your eyes can tell me something that you might not be feeling, you know, and, you know, it's important to get that. Functional medicine, I hear more and more often. I really need to do that. I think more people need to do that as well, just because, the, like you said, the medical community is just very, very different to the way they treat things. And, Debbie Carlin Boyle, just I feel like we could talk forever. I really appreciate your time today. I learned a lot. I know the listeners will. Tell everybody how shows like yours need to get out. We need to have people understand how important this is and get America healthy. Gosh darn it.
I agree. So my show is really kind of cool because I highlight people and services and nonprofits that are within the health and wellness field. So anything that you may have a question about, whether it's the environment or, you know, healthy food, or yesterday I did a show, it was yesterday and Tuesday, I did a show on ageism and how to age, you know, have bonus years when you age and what we can do now to make sure of that. And we're not just talking about financially, but we did hit on that. Every single thing that you could think of in the health umbrella is on my YouTube channel. And you can get there a couple of ways. You can go straight to my YouTube channel, which is Balanced Life by Debbie YouTube. Just put that in, Google that, it will pop up. Or balancedlifebydebbie.com, which is my website. And if you scroll down, that will take you to my YouTube channel. And once you get to my website, there are programs there and there's a way to connect with me there. And I also give free 1 hour introductory sessions to learn about you. So, and your concerns and your goals. So it's one of the best ways to get started. But if you just go to my YouTube channel and subscribe, then I know that you're getting content on anything. And just look at right that now I have about 70 videos on one YouTube channel and have about 150 on another. Wow. So I'm well over 200 shows in the health and wellness field. And that's why I do it, to help people. So,
and it's great. And Debbie is spelled D-E-B-I.
Yes.
For everybody out there. And you're in Southern California.
Southern California.
Do you help people remotely?
Anywhere in the world. And I did so before the pandemic, but even more so now. So I have clients all over the world, all over. What happens is sometimes they move away. Sometimes somebody here recommends somebody there, and I just adjust to their time frame. So just like we're talking, this is how I work with them. And I'm training clients on Zoom. And then the classes I teach, you can also get on demand through Dig Cycle. So it's Dig Cycle, DigCycle.com. You can see their on demand classes there. So basically, if you have an at home bike, you can take a class with me. Or you can, if you're here in Southern California, in Calabasas, California, come take a class with me live. I'd love to work with you. And I'll go anywhere in LA and meet with somebody and do those. I can even do a virtual supermarket tour. You just take your phone with you, and I can also do an at-home makeover of your kitchen. So it works. You know, we really got clever with our technology.
You have to. So. You never know. I might be one of those spin classes. My daughter's at Cal State.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm in the Northeast, but I see her often. Not often enough, I have to say. But
meaning you fly out here to see
Yeah.
her.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, very cool.
Let me know when you're out here.
I will. Yeah, maybe you continue the conversation. Maybe face to face too. You know,
get that's back what I'm that. Saying. Let me know. We'll meet up great. When you come visit her.
Debbie, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. And please keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening and or viewing Joey Pinn's Discipline Conversations. Please share this episode with one or two of your friends who you think may benefit from the episode. Our website, www.joeypins.com. There you find lots of resources and you could join our mailing list. Please follow us on all our social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Podcast information, the video version of our podcast is on YouTube. Please subscribe. Audio is on all major podcasting platforms. Please follow them. And if you like it, please consider giving 5-star rating. Would really appreciate that. Would you like to financially support the podcast? You can go to our Patreon site. Consider $5, $10, or $20 a month. There's all kind of plans that we have there. It's like a one-time payment. What is this podcast episode worth to you? $25, $50, $100, $500, $1,000, $5,000. You be the judge. You can go to our PayPal account to do that as well. Thank you again for listening or watching Joey Pinn's Discipline Conversation.